So the latest on the ground is that we've been able to support 50,000 people with emergency food distributions in three states, Gedaref, Kassala, and White Nile. This includes pre-existing refugees and internally displaced people. And right now, we're ramping up to start distributions in Jazeera State to newly displaced people, most of whom are fleeing Khartoum. And this is actually the first time WFP will be doing food distributions and emergency assistance in Jazeera State. And so it's been a big logistical operation to set up the distributions and to set up aid in a state where we didn't have an operational base before. So our teams have been working around the clock to make this happen. The first food trucks have arrived in Jazeera State, and distributions will start in the coming days. Like I said, this is to newly displaced people who have just fled Khartoum with little or nothing but what they have on their backs.
On newly displaced people, obviously people are on the move in Sudan within and outside its borders. How are you able to reach these people as they're on the move?
So this is one of the biggest challenges because the insecurity situation is so bad in Sudan that we're only able to operate in certain pockets where it's safe. So these are the four states we've identified for the initial emergency scale-up. And we're hoping that with the new agreement that's just been signed, that this will open up humanitarian corridors and extend humanitarian access so that we can get to those areas where people are fleeing to, and hopefully back into the Darfurs as soon as possible. But that's why WFP is appealing to both parties to the conflict for a lasting ceasefire so that we can carry out this critical emergency assistance.
So the deal yesterday fell short of a lasting ceasefire, although the parties did agree to protect civilians and to provide humanitarian corridors. Has the situation changed? I know it's early on, but has it changed on the ground already? And did you receive any communication guaranteeing these corridors?
So the communication is in the agreement. They've agreed to this, but now we are calling on that agreement to be adhered to and to see concrete steps happen on the ground, as previous ceasefires we have seen are not holding. And that's why it's critical that the parties adhere to this.
So I know that one of the things that WFP does is provide cash assistance, and people in Sudan right now are cash strapped because the banking sector is paralyzed. Have you been able to reach people with this kind of assistance?
So at the moment, as you mentioned, cash and liquidity in the country is extremely difficult because banks are not operational. And so at the moment, we are providing emergency food rations in the form of packages of sorghum, lentil, oil, and salt. We have not been able to resume cash assistance. We're looking at ways in which we could do that in the coming months. But this is going to be extremely difficult because the banking sector is just completely down. Beyond that, a lot of our food stocks have been looted. Around 17,200 metric tons of emergency food assistance, which would have been enough to feed around 1.6 million people for 1 month, as well as some of our cash assistance that we actually had to provide those emergency cash distributions has also been looted in some of these looting incidents in our various offices, premises, and locations around the country.
That was something I wanted to ask you about, looting. Of course, as you mentioned, the amount is staggering. How can this be prevented in the future as the conflict continues?
It requires both parties to the conflict to adhere to international humanitarian law. And it also requires accountability to hold the perpetrators of these looting incidents accountable. This is a gross violation of international humanitarian law, and we're calling on both of the parties to the conflict to protect humanitarian assets, to protect humanitarian assistance. This is food that was supposed to go to the most needy people in Sudan that is just being stolen, not to mention what a huge logistical challenge it is going to be for WFP to reestablish our operations in some of the areas where our offices, guest houses, warehouses have been damaged, burnt, dismantled. So before the conflict even started, the needs in Sudan were so high that we had a funding shortfall of over $300 million over the next 6 months. And now that the conflict has pushed even more people into hunger, increased humanitarian needs, that funding gap is much higher. So it's at least $300 million, if not more.
Speaking of hunger, if I read correctly, WFP is saying that there are 2.5 million additional people that will fall into acute hunger soon. For people outside of a crisis situation, it's very tough to understand that concept. What does that mean in practical terms?
So in practical terms, what that means is once a year, WFP does an assessment to see what is the food security situation in the country. So we had already prepared and done the assessment and the analysis for this coming lean season. So that means it's the hunger season in Sudan between June and September, where it's the rainy season, where their crops have been harvested, so there are actually not any crops to be harvested. So that's what we call the lean season. And that's where the most number of people face hunger or don't know where their next meal will come from. So our assessment before the conflict erupted showed that 16.8 million people would be facing food insecurity in this coming lean season. Now, on top of that, we have the disruption that this conflict created, which will push an additional 2.5 million more people into hunger. And so what that looks like overall for the country is 19 million people, or 41% of the population, who is going to struggle to survive and have something to eat every single day. And a big part of this is also the pre-existing macroeconomic crisis that we were seeing in Sudan, climate shocks, also pockets of intercommunal violence that were pre-existing before this broader conflict erupted between the RSF and the SAF. And so this is just something that is exacerbating what was already an incredibly dire situation. It is absolutely necessary that we're able to provide support to these people, but also that the fighting stops so we can go back to working on some of the long-term solutions to reducing food insecurity in the country and improving food systems.
WFP, of course, suspended its operations after the tragic loss of three of our colleagues. What is being done differently now, and how can WFP protect its personnel on the ground?
Yeah, so we were all extremely shocked and heartbroken at the death of our three of our colleagues, and actually four staff from Blue Nile and Mashreq Bank, who were accompanying a team carrying out cash distributions the morning that the conflict broke out on 15th of April. And that was a huge shock. And that is why we were forced to suspend operations temporarily. Now, since then, WFP and other UN and humanitarian organizations have reconfigured our operations. So now we have set up a base in Port Sudan, which is relatively safe in comparison to Khartoum, from where we are going to operate and try to reach as many people as possible in East Sudan, and then also looking at different corridors, different humanitarian corridors, where we can get aid through to the Darfurs, to the Kordofans, either from the north via Egypt or via Chad. But what is also very concerning is the disruption of assistance flowing into South Sudan, because that was one humanitarian corridor that we were using before, was transporting food from Port Sudan down to Kosti and Sudan and then down into South Sudan. And so this is very, very concerning that the security situation has evolved in such a way where it makes it difficult for us to move humanitarian goods. So the safety of our staff is our first and foremost concern, and we're operating in whatever way feasible. And right now that is out of Port Sudan.